Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 2, we were talking about how little the suffering that we endure throughout our lives is compared to the suffering of Christ throughout all these years. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I was talking to someone recently that was in the hospital and then in a rehab center. And they said, I don't know why this happened to me. I've been faithful. I've been trying to serve the Lord. And why did this happen to me? And yet I told the person of my dear mother who was racked with cancer. And she was one of the best soul winners I ever had in the church. And she was also one of the sweetest Christians that you'd ever meet. A lady that was like Dorcas, full of good works. And I tell you, when I lost her, I wasn't just losing a mother. I was losing one of the best workers I had. And I told her, because she was down with this for at least 9 or 10 months before she went to be with the Lord. And I says, I said, Mom, I don't understand this. I says, you've been faithful, and for many years I've seen it. I said, I just don't understand why you. And her answer to me was, why not me? And boy, that just said it all. Why not me? We're just sinners, my friends, saved by grace. Our Lord suffered for us. The apostles in Acts chapter 5 rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so often I'll see these people that have endured for so many years, 24/7, year-round, and yet so often I found these people peaceful, loving, and with joy because they're leaning on Jesus. They've known a grace of God that this preacher has never known. Yet not one of them has the depth or the length of our Lord's trials and tribulation that he has suffered for the last 6,000 years. And yes, he has suffered all so many times over with our waywardness and our failures and this old sinful world that he loves the people and wants them saved. He goes on to say he also knows their poverty. So he doesn't know just their works and their tribulations, but their poverty. But then he adds, but they are rich, but thou art rich. Wow. Here you are living in poverty conditions. God looks at you and says, oh, no, those people are rich. It makes me think, man, treasures are laid up in heaven for those wonderful folks. We're reminded of Revelation 3:17, which is somewhat like a contrast to this. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. What a charge against those people who are naming the name of Christ. Poor, blind, and naked. Wow. They're wretched even. In God's sight, they're wretched. And they're miserable. But they think, hey, I'm all right. And they may seriously think they are all right. Now, my friend, when we all get to heaven, we'll see from 1 John 2:28 that there are those that will be saved, but they're going to be ashamed at his appearing. And others will have confidence, rejoicing that they're going to enter into the joy of the Lord with crowns. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15 tells us that our works are going to be tried by fire. Some will be like wood, hay, and stubble, and they'll be burned up, and they'll only be saved so as by fire. Whereas others, Their works abide the fire. They're like gold, silver, and precious stones, and they lay up for eternity. My friend, you may say, I'm satisfied with my Christian life, and I'm satisfied, but you'll hear a preacher talk about sin and about other things, and you get upset, and you don't like it. And you really say, I'm increased, I'm well, I have nothing wrong. But the Word of God says something else. My friend, order your life by the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 tells us, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, now remember, if is a conditional word, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, before you claim the promise, oh, of the great glory I'm going to have, remember, if you're a child of God, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. I think of 2 Timothy 3:12-13, where it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's only going to get worse. And if men call themselves Christians and they don't witness now, they're not faithful to the services of their church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night now, they're not tithing, they're not living holy and separated lives, what makes them think that as things get worse, they're going to get better? Oh, no, my friend. It's not quite like that. You're not going to share in the glory if you're not going to stand for him in righteousness right now. You'll be saved so as by fire. Now, he also knows the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. The word blasphemy carries with it the idea of the worst type of slander. It seeks to ruin or wound the reputation. Oftentimes, this is someone who is always finding fault. They question things as if they are questioning your motives. They imply things about the character and integrity of others. They sow discord. No, they may not be at the center of the fight. They may be the one that just stirs it up. They're the ones that may whisper to you and tell you, you know what he thinks? You know what he said? And they go to someone else and say, you know what he said? You know what he thinks? And many times the devil just protects these people in a church. They can stir it up and then be protected even when people know the difference. They can just lie their way in and out. And people can even see they're wrong, but because they have such a pleasing personality, they still go along with the evil of that person. And, oh, I shudder when I think of many young Christians and young Christian couples that have been misled by people of that gender who have gone out and deceived others and have sown discord and have taken them off the right path. Oh, it were better for them that a millstone were hung about their neck and they were cast into the midst of the deepest sea. Now, history reveals that the Jews in Smyrna incited the pagans in the city to loot the possessions of the Christians. That is why they're poor. They had the things taken from them. And these people did that are the synagogue of Satan. That is, the people who've done this are not aware that Satan and his devils have masterminded what they are doing. Basically, he's made flunkies out of them. You ever hear preachers stand up and attack the fundamental church? They say the biggest threat to fundamentalism is in the 21st century is the fundamental Bible believer. Well, that's what these religious people were doing to the fundamental Christians at Smyrna. And they thought they were doing something good. They thought this was right. Did not realize that they were just flunkies of the devil. And so often, the new evangelical movement, that's what happens. And they don't realize that they've entered the political correct in religion field, and they have become flunkies of the devil. Now, it's interesting that Christ does not find fault with this church as he did the one in Ephesus that was seemingly so successful. You see, the fault is with the ones who run down the fundamental church, the fundamental pulpit, and the fundamental work. They are of the synagogue of Satan, and they don't know they're being used of the devil. We're reminded of these flunkies in Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. That's the idea of they entered in the back door. They came in unnoticed. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What does that mean? Turning God's grace into lasciviousness, they say, look, we live in the age of grace. We're not under law. If you want to drink, you can drink. If you want to go watch that filthy movie, you can do that. And there's just no standards because they say it's the grace of God. Well, what they're doing is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're denying his holiness and righteousness in the life of God's people and the church. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. And this is actually an older illustration. And this is back in the year of 2005. Hopefully, these things have changed. I don't know if they have or not. Usually they don't, but hopefully we would even pray for a change. But it says, the bishops of the United Methodist Church have issued a statement declaring that homosexuality is no barrier to church membership. The Council of Bishops said that while pastors have the responsibility to discern readiness for membership, homosexuality is not a barrier. And this is from an article, United Methodist Bishops Affirm Church Membership, Open to All, United Methodist Church News Service, November 3rd of 2005. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.